Here we are with Joe Courtney, Democrat of Connecticut's beautiful 2nd District. He's been here many times, and we love talking to him because he's a man of great wisdom. Thank you for being with us, Joe.
Great. Nowhere to go but downhill after that introduction. Thanks, Alan. Great to be back.
Okay, let's start with what's going on in terms of the impeachment trial and having evidence submitted. I've been trying very hard. It's very hard for me to listen to the Republican defense. They're basically saying, well, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. He's in charge. He's the president. He gets to do foreign policy. You can't criticize him. And what do you think?
Well, again, it shows how, in some ways, the two articles are interrelated, because the, contempt of Congress in the second article, plays into the whole issue of getting evidence in the first article, which is, the abuse of power in terms of using military aid, and which is, to me, the real real life and death sort of literally issue that, convinced me that my vote had to go the way of impeachment, which was something that I did not relish. I don't think anyone in their right mind wants to go down that kind of a path. I remember that famous story of Peter Rodino when they reported articles of impeachment out in the Judiciary Committee in Watergate, and went into his office, closed the door, and broke down crying.
Cause, really?
He was a tough guy. You know, he was a World War II veteran and all that. But, this is a big, fateful step for the country. But having said that, the abuse of power did go to the heart of, whether or not, we're a country of laws or not. And so the president's blockade of information in terms of witnesses and documents, underlay the second article, is really in some ways at the heart of what the decision is these senators have to make about whether, witnesses who just scream out in terms of relevancy and first person knowledge, are going to be brought to testify, which, the Senate as the sole authority in terms of an impeachment trial has the power to do. So, the Bolton revelation, I think, has been a game changer. It's just it's a reminder to all of them that, they may think that, squashing this thing and shutting it down is somehow going to, bring it to an end. It's not. There's going to be books and investigations and leaks and, so these, this decision, a lot of them have real egg on their face if they vote in accord with the blockade.
Joe Courtney, according to the polls I've been reading, most of the polls are saying that Trump is underwater in terms of his electoral efforts. What do you think? Do you think the Democrats should be laying back and saying, well, we're going to win this no matter who we run?
I don't believe that. Again, national polls would show the underwater numbers or top line numbers, and they really don't get into the heart of how presidential elections are decided, as we've learned now, in recent years twice, where the popular vote was not enough to elect a president. And so, I think that anybody who, just wants to assume that it's a shoo-in, I think is making a big mistake. I mean, there's no question that 2018 was super encouraging, biggest voter turnout since 1914 for a midterm election, 10 million vote plurality in the House that pushed through candidates in places like Oklahoma and Southern Virginia and Northern Michigan that weren't on anybody's radar screen as, winnable seats. That, clearly shows the country is ready to elect a new president. But the question is, given the Electoral College and the need to, I do think, have a center-left message that will, I think, work in some of these critical states. To me, that's, the question of the day in terms of, whether we end this presidency.
Can Bernie Sanders, who's leading in so many of these polls, now win?
I mean, obviously, based on my prior comment there.
That's why I asked the question.
No, I mean, I have concerns about it. I mean, you know, his campaign is so impressive in terms of, you know, the grassroots internet strength of it. His fundraising numbers are, you know, just super impressive. And, you know, I just feel that at some point, you know, he's got to convince people in that space that he's, you know, can get their votes. And I'm concerned, and I don't say that with any hostility to him or, you know, his supporters, but it's, you know, we saw this in 2018 partially. If you look at some of the Our Revolution candidates that ran in red districts, they did not fare well. You know, again, they had a lot of the enthusiasm. They had some really fiery, good people running, but that by itself is not enough, in my opinion, to you know, win the day in places like Western Pennsylvania and Ohio. And it's you know, it's just a concern. Having said that, I haven't endorsed anybody. I, you know, am scrupulously of the position that we should let this process play itself out. And you know, if Bernie is successful, it wouldn't be the first time that someone, you know, kind of has to pivot in terms of at least addressing that critical audience that I think is decisive in presidential elections. And, you know, so I'm not going to sit here and just sort of rule out his electability, but I think it's, like I said, we've seen this movie before in terms of presidential races, and all of the candidates, not just him, you know, really have to, I think, show that, you know, they've got what it takes.
You know, I've been thinking about this for quite a while, and I've been interviewing a lot of people. I've interviewed Bernie maybe 100 times on this very show, at Congressional Corner. And, you know, I don't think he's going to pivot. I think if he gets elected, I know him well enough to know that he's going to just stick with it. And that may be poison. I don't know.
Well, we'll see. I mean, it's, you know, campaigns have a life of their own. And I think it's, you know, there's natural forces that I think, and again, looking at historically successful Democrats, you know, that they had to make that pivot.
Right. Very quickly, then, does Bloomberg have a shot here?
I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, as I said, there's a million scenarios that could play out, particularly in terms of the size of the field, that somebody who's got the obviously the capacity to, you know, keep going forward is someone you cannot rule out. I mean, if you look at the decisions that were made by Kamala Harris and Cory Booker, you know, some of the others who you know, stepped back, even, you know, my friend from Texas, Beto O'Rourke. I mean, the resource issue for people like that who are kind of mere mortals, you know, obviously,
tough.
You know, put the handwriting on the wall that, you know, it's time to step out. But he doesn't have that problem.
No. Joe Courtney is a great congressman, a friend, who appears on WAMC from time to time. We're delighted to have you, Joe, representing Connecticut's 2nd District. And when we come back, I want to ask you about not-for-profits and taxing them.
Sure.